Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have established your rule in the human heart through the servanthood of Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, keep us in the joyful procession of those who with their tongues confess Jesus as Lord, and with their lives praise him as Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. I've been asked quite often in the last few weeks what I think of the new Pope. And it's a bit early to tell. It's a little early to tell, but he's been given a nickname already. He's called the Unpredictable Pope. And I think that sounds very hopeful. But I am most pleased with his choice of name. But to tell you the truth, I haven't been spending a lot of time thinking about Rome. I have been spending more time in the last week or so thinking about Jerusalem. I've been thinking about palm branches and passion gospel readers and basins for foot washing and about Maundy Thursday liturgy. I've been thinking about finding that Good Friday cross. I wonder where that is. Working on a good number of sermons and bulletins that need to be prepared in the next few days. I've been thinking a lot about Jerusalem. But maybe I should listen to Rome. Maybe I need to hear the name Francis and heed the message that that name elicits, the message of simplicity and humility. In the 12th century, Francis of Assisi, a young nobleman, turned his back on wealth and privilege to follow a new vocation of simplicity and humility and love for the poor. While he was praying in a church in Assisi called the Church of San Damiano, he heard the voice of God say to him, "Repair my church." Francis took that literally and got a hammer and tools and fixed up the building and then said, "There." And God said, "Repair my church." And Francis realized what God was saying to him, and he devoted himself to creating a new kind of church, a church at the margins, living with and praying with the poor and the outcast. He broke all kinds of rules. He crossed all kinds of boundaries. He was not afraid to greet the leper with a kiss. And the wolf that was terrorizing the village, he greeted with a friendly pet. Although Francis was known more for his deeds than for his words, I've heard many times quoted his advice to Christian believers, "Preach the gospel at all times. And when necessary, use words." What might it look like if we welcomed the spirit of Francis into our worship services at St. Peter's, just like that cardinal from Argentina has welcomed the spirit of Francis into the Vatican in Rome? What if we took that admonition during this Holy Week to preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words? St. Francis was a man of unspoken gospel, a man of simple, honest gestures. That kiss for the leper said more about compassion than any long lecture or wordy sermon could. Petting that terrifying wolf into a friendly pet says more about facing fear with love than words could do. Francis preached his Christmas sermon by setting up a rough manger, filling it with straw, and bringing in sheep and cows. Words weren't necessary as people witnessed the gestures. This week, Holy Week, we get a lot of words. Today, we hear the whole of St. Luke's Passion story. And then on Good Friday, we get the whole of St. John's Passion. Do we really need more words? We have an opportunity to hear the story told in action as well as in words, with palm branches in a procession, with dramatic proclamations of the Passion of Christ, with the feet of the homeless and the poor washed and shod, with bread broken and shared at the same table with those who are hungry and those who are well fed, with an altar stripped bare and chanted psalms heard in a darkened sanctuary. By following the cross in our neighborhood, in the streets where people live and suffer, by bowing before the cross on Good Friday and acknowledging our sin and God's love for us, Holy Week is a time of grand gestures in liturgy, in drama, in music, in art, and maybe a few words from the preacher. I suggest that what's going on in Rome these days can give us some inspiration as we prepare to recall what was going on in Jerusalem centuries ago. Jesus, King of Peace, came in simplicity, in humility, and in love for the poor. The gospel that we heard proclaimed outside just a few minutes ago, before our procession, ended with these words: I tell you, if these people were silent, the stones would shout out. My hope is that we can all take part in this holiest week of the year and in the wonderful liturgies of these days, of Maundy Thursday, of Good Friday, of Easter Saturday, and of Easter Sunday. Watch and listen. These stones will shout. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen to those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Word of God, word of life.
Thanks
be to God. Let us pray Psalm 31 responsively. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed. I am the scorn of my enemies, a disgrace to my neighbors. a dismay to my acquaintances. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. Like the dead, I am forgotten. Out of mind, I am useless as a broken pot. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord. I have said, my times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now.
Find the folders that are on the ends of the pews and pass them down so that everyone has a folder. And your parts are in bold. Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Now the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot,
who was the one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray Jesus to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying,
"Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it."
They asked him,
"Where do you want us to make preparations for it?"
"Listen, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asked you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs already furnished. Make preparations for us there."
So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them,
"I eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said,
"Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes."
Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
"This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying,
"This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed."
Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them,
"The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. Who is greater, the one who is at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
And Peter said to him,
Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death.
Jesus said,
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me three times.
He said to them,
Jesus, when I send you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?
They said,
No.
He said to them,
but now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless. And indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled.
They said,
Look, here are two swords.
He replied,
it is enough.
He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them,
pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed,
Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them,
why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?
When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked,
or should we strike with the sword?
Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
no more of this.
And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him,
have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were abandoned? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said,
this man was with him.
But he denied it, saying,
woman, I do not know him.
A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said,
you also are one of them.
But Peter said,
man, I am not.
Then, about an hour later, still another kept insisting,
surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean.
But Peter said,
man, I do not know what you're talking about.
At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him,
prophesy, who is it that struck you?
They kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said,
if you are the Messiah, tell us.
He replied,
if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God.
All of them asked,
are you then the Son of God?
He said to them,
you say that I am.
Then they said,
what further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from our own lips.
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. they began to accuse him, saying,
"We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king."
Then Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He answered,
"You say so."
Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find no basis for an accusation against this man."
But they were insistent and said, when Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither is Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him."
Then they all shouted out together, This was a man who had been put into prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city, and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, A third time, Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him."
But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying,
"He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one."
The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying,
"If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself."
There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying,
"Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us."
And the other rebuked him, saying,
"Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong."
Then he said,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus replied,
truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, when the sun's light failed, and the curtain in the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said,
Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
certainly this man was innocent.
And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.